You know, Mark's gospel is so basic, plain spoken, and rattling it along at such an urgent clip that I almost feel out of breath. But its brevity contains extraordinary richness and depth. Our gospel reading today is a case in point. They came to Jericho, it begins. And the very next words are, and Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Whoa, what went on in Jericho? They picked up that large crowd, I guess, but that's all Mark gives us. What happens in Jericho stays in Jericho, it seems. But perhaps the author means to show that things are moving quickly now. For Jericho is only about 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem, where Jesus is headed. Jericho is Jesus' last stop on the first world tour that will turn out to also be the final farewell tour. For everything comes to a head in Jerusalem, with betrayal and arrest and trial. Everything ends in Jerusalem on a cross. And everything begins again in Jerusalem at an empty tomb. So very soon, Jesus will be riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, being greeted by a crowd shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches, and events will move inexorably to a close, but not quite yet. Now, Jesus and his companions are leaving Jericho. And on the outskirts of town, they pass by a blind beggar sitting by the side of the road. Blind beggar is kind of redundant. Back then, being blind or lame or otherwise physically disabled almost always meant a lifetime of begging for one's daily bread. There was no Israelites with Disabilities Act in ancient Palestine, no occupational training programs, no lighthouse for the blind, as Joel pointed out earlier, no technology. Bartimaeus was blind, and so he was a beggar. But we shouldn't sentimentalize him either. In Jesus' day, yes, physical wholeness or temporary physical ability, like wealth, might be seen as a sign of God's favor. But we know, as Jesus knew, that physical wholeness and spiritual wholeness are not one and the same. Yet, neither is physical disability a sign of special grace. People are who they are, what they are. They are products of birth and circumstances including, but beyond what their bodies look like, what their bodies can do. And this fellow, Bartimaeus, is a little pushy. It seems that he's heard about a new healer in town. Now the guy's leaving and he grabs his chance. He begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People around him, the disciples and followers, try to shut him up. Why? It may not be the right title, but it's reverent. Are they worried that this pushy beggar is going to ask Jesus for money? Or that all the commotion, especially that Son of David stuff, will attract the attention of Roman soldiers? And that's never good. Or do they simply think that blind Bart has stepped out of his place? That he shouldn't waste Jesus' time, that he doesn't deserve Jesus' notice, that he's messy, disorderly, rude, afflicted, unworthy. If so, they haven't been paying much attention. So the disciples are trying to hustle Jesus past this yelling beggar, but Jesus won't go. He stops in his tracks and says, "Call him here." And quickly enough, The disciples change their tune. They call to the man who is blind, "Take heart, have courage, don't give up, he's calling you." I suppose Jesus could have called to the man himself. Instead, though, how quickly he turned the shushers into encouragers. Now, we don't, by the way, need anyone to intercede for us with Jesus. He is our intercessor, our great high priest, if you will. But sometimes we do need help getting to Jesus. And how quickly Bartimaeus jumps up and comes to Jesus, throwing off his cloak, the cloak that he would spread out before him to collect alms, the cloak that would serve as covering and protection, the cloak that may have been his only worldly possession. He throws it aside and rushes boldly to Jesus. Then Jesus does a strange thing. He asks the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Can't he see that the guy's blind? Mark's readers, we know that as they were all heading toward Jericho and towards Jerusalem, remember, James and John had heard a similar question from Jesus. They'd come up and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." We can imagine that Jesus responded somewhat warily. "What is it you want me to do for you?" And he was right to be wary. For they asked, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Talk about clueless. Yet when Bartimaeus approaches him, Jesus gives him the same opportunity to say what he wants. Instead of making assumptions or imposing his own diagnosis, Jesus listens. He listens and learns. You know, those in the helping professions know that one of the hardest things, lessons to learn is that you can't help people who are not ready to be helped. If you've ever tried to get help for someone living with addiction, for instance, you know how true that is. You can't help people by telling them what they need or what they need to do and assuming that you know what's best, even if you're convinced that you do. Not that you can always do for people what they want. Jesus didn't assume what James and John wanted, and yet he still couldn't give him what they wanted. They were still addicted to the world's idea of greatness. Jesus asks Bartimaeus what he wants. He listens to learn what the man wants and what he is ready to receive. He gives Bartimaeus the power of his own voice and the dignity of being a partner in his own healing. "Rabbi, let me receive sight." And Jesus grants Bartimaeus what he wants. But the healing, the granting of physical sightedness, isn't the big deal here. Oh, I imagine it was to Bartimaeus. But this short little episode, like so much of the gospel, is about more than meets the eye. For Jesus said to Bart, "Go, your faith has made you well." But Bartimaeus didn't go. Having thrown away what he owned. Now remember the rich young man who couldn't do that? But Bartimaeus, having thrown away his possessions, having received his sight, he followed Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, the way to the cross. Your faith has made you well. This is one of those times when we have to be careful not to fall into that old trap of only if you only pray harder, believe better, love bigger, God will grant you what you want. For what's remarkable about Bartimaeus is not so much that he was blind but now could see, but that physically blind as he was, he had already perceived what many others around Jesus had not. Physically blind as he was, Bartimaeus is not the one who was spiritually blind. Unlike those whom Jesus describes, who may indeed look but may not perceive, and may indeed listen but not hear, Bartimaeus' spiritual senses work just fine. And so does his perseverance. His is the first public proclamation in Mark of Jesus' royal messiahship, Jesus, son of David. And his is the persistence of faith that will not shut up, will not give up, will not be turned away. His is the willingness, the ability to articulate what it is he wants from Jesus: wholeness, restoration, transformation. Because he has already encountered and recognized the one anointed by God to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. We are all individually and together constantly moving from lack of perception to understanding, and then often from clarity of vision to moments when the way seems obscure. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Not like a genie in a bottle ready to grant our most far-fetched wishes, but like the healer, the savior, the life transformer that he is. How would you answer Jesus? It takes hard work sometimes to figure out what it is we really need. It takes courage to admit what our own disability is, because everyone's got something. It takes faith to call out to Jesus again and again, even when others push you aside, even when you can't see Jesus so clearly, you can't see him at all, even when you can't quite believe that he will answer you. Remember the disciples and the others, the ones who were still pretty clueless, the ones who'd at first tried to discourage Bart, but turned around quickly enough when Jesus said, "Call him here." Jesus didn't just ask Bartimaeus what he wanted. He asked those around Bartimaeus to help him get closer to Jesus. Few of us get the big picture. Doesn't mean we can't all of us help our friends and neighbors forward. Because like Bart, before his sight was restored, we've never seen Jesus. But that doesn't mean, like Bart, we can't believe. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, calls out to Jesus, son of David. Jesus answers and listens and grants him the dignity of a voice and the grace of a life transformed. Very soon after, Jesus will be riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, greeted by a crowd shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches. I picture Bartimaeus there, shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." I picture him too at the cross, bearing witness, so he can tell others what he has seen. The beggar by the roadside has become the disciple on the way. There's hope for us all who are willing to persevere, who are willing to admit our neediness, who have the insight to sense, despite what we can or cannot see, that our Savior stands before us, ready to listen, ready to make us whole. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.